We're kind of concluding tonight the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 52. And we've come a long way, and I hope that for you it's been a blessing. It has been for me to be able to get my mind around such a book of such quantity and quality. I know I've read this book many times in the past, but usually I just read it and muscle through. But I think after coming through it with you guys this time, as we have in several weeks' time, I've got a better understanding and feel for this particular book in its own right. The portfolio of messages of a man of God who was preaching at the zero hour, coming down to the zero hour and living through it and going after it. It was the time in Judah's history that had been prophesied by Isaiah and others several years, hundreds of years before. If you guys don't turn, this is what's going to have to happen. And of course it did. So here's a man who is a man's man. He had a heart. He wept. He's known as the weeping prophet. And he wept for his people. He cared when they didn't listen. He cared when they didn't hearken to the words of God. Made up his mind at one point, I'm not going to preach anymore. I think every preacher has thought that at one time or another, where they've kicked the ground and said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm just not going to. And it was funny. I was at the restaurant taking advantage of one of my little gift cards I got for Christmas at Fazoli's the other day. And my wife and me and Craig, we were having dinner there. And this young man walks up, and he used to be a youth pastor in a local church somewhere in the outskirts here somewhere. And he walks up and he tells me he started a church. And he started a church in a neighboring town. And I kid you not, there was no smile playing on the corner of his lips anymore. He was just kind of looked like a deer in the headlights of an oncoming car. He's like, oh, yeah, we started a church. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. There was no enthusiasm here at this point. He's just holding on. And sometimes that's how it is when we read Leviticus or some books of the Bible, is my point. And here we're looking at the book of Jeremiah, and I hope it's been a blessing to you to get your mind around this book. We've seen the historical section, how Jeremiah went through being there when the time came for the gates to be broken out and the walls to fall and Nebuzaradan coming in and saying, you're the only guy in the room who gets to go wherever he wants. What do you want? Where do you want to go? We understand that you've been trying to tell these people. Well, what we've seen is all of the book of Jeremiah has been a compilation more than a chronology. Okay, so remember that. It's a compilation. You've got the compilation of his messages, and then you've got compilation of various scenes and pictures of what happened historically in his time. He actually is taken at the end of his life. He does not want to go. He tells the men that are with him that he doesn't want to go, but they force him to go to Egypt. After all is said and done, they've killed Gedaliah, who was the king's King Nebuchadnezzar's puppet. He put him there. He said, you watch over this. A man comes up and he kills him, and they're all happy about that, and they think, we better get out of here because, you know, he's dead and they're going to blame us. And so they all ran. And he said, no, we don't need to run. But he ends up in Egypt, and legend takes it from there. We don't know, but we're handed down the word that he was actually killed in Egypt by those that took him down there ultimately. So his whole life was a bumpy road. And I think sometimes we need to recognize that it may come to that it may be that it will cost you something to believe in Christ, to be the one who's standing up when nobody else will. Well, this brings us to chapter 52. It's where we're told the final historical unfolding of events and how God has been found faithful in it all. Chapter 52 begins with Zedekiah, who was the last sitting king in the realm of Judah. And the Bible says Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, a different Jeremiah, of course. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now, these names get confusing. We noted it before, but understand that these are brothers. Zedekiah has been mentioned, and we also see Jehoiakim mentioned In verse 2, these are brothers. Josiah was the good godly king. His sons take over after he dies. And not only are their names confusing because they're only little spots here and there in the Chronicles and the Kings, because their reigns lasted very short terminations, but they're spread out over the Scriptures. You see them here and there. But also because their names weren't always as they are set before us here. Jehoiachin is Jeconiah by birth, and then there's Mattaniah, who used to be the name that Zedekiah went by. These guys all have names being moved around. So it's like a shell game to try to keep up with them. But just know this, that this is the last seated king of Judah, a legitimate king, if you will, one with blood line going back to the time of David. And what we see here is at the end of this regime that would be known as Judah and the kingdom of David, Zedekiah is 21 years old when he comes into his own. He gets the throne, and once he gets the throne, what ends up happening is he has to make a choice. And we all have to make choices. In America, we have our own kingdoms. I can't stress it enough. Your kingdom, my kingdom, we got kingdoms going on. You've got everything that a king would love to have in any regime across the world. There are kings in third world countries today who would love to have just the kind of life you have. Charlie was telling me here tonight how he's enjoying a little bit of work down in his basement where he's doing some remodeling, and it's just on his time, and nobody's over him and looking and breathing down his neck. That is a joy not to have somebody breathing down your neck. And on the other end of the continuum, Mark's been plowing through with everybody breathing down his neck, saying, get it done quick, get it done quick, because of all of the kind of things that it takes, that has to do with taking in a new company. So we have this kind of a world in which when you go home, it's just home. You just want to kick your feet up. You just want to put your head back, maybe take a 10-minute nap. Get up and, you know, get something in the refrigerator that's nice and cold. I mean, everything is where it needs to be. But the problem is that with all of this freedom we enjoy comes a great responsibility. And I think sometimes we look at these kings and we say, boy, what idiots. How could they be like that? How could they do that? But the fact is we're making choices every day. And we're making choices that are really far-reaching in their impact. What you see in verse 3, I want to bring your eyes down to verse 3. It says, for through the anger of the Lord it came to pass. Now, you might underline that because that is really the way that everything is going to unfold. It's on the heels of he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And you have to ask yourself, what did he do that was so evil? Well, if you will recall, as we've gone through the book of Jeremiah, you will remember that one of the number one things God told the people of Israel to do was to submit to the king of Babylon. He told them that they needed to go out when he came to their gates and was going to battle them. He told the people what you need to do well in advance. He said, when they come, you just go out and you submit yourselves to them because you have sinned so badly that your time is up. And I'm going to clear this land and I'm going to turn the plate over and I'm going to wipe it clean and we're going to start anew. And you need to just get on board with me. A hard word indeed. Nobody wants to go under. Nobody wants to give up their pride and joy or their patriotism. But this man, Zedekiah, having seen all of the things that have unfolded along the way, his own brother who preceded him on the throne was Jeconiah. He only reigned 100 days. 100 days was the only time he got to reign because here came the Babylonian king. And when he came, Jeconiah, who was that 100-day king, he actually went out to the king and he submitted himself, was carried away and put in prison. He actually will be mentioned at the end of the chapter, but my point is this. This man did what was right. He went over and it meant captivity. So there was a little bit of misgiving placed in the mind of Zedekiah. We have this idea that if we obey God, it's going to be all well. Well, it'll be well with our soul. Might not be well with our living conditions. We may have to give some things up. All across the board today, people say, well, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. It is hard. One of the hard things I have about the radio ministry is I say things about getting back down to the nitty-gritty, going back to the root, and let's say, okay, let people fall down. Because if people will fall down, then they'll begin to realize I need to work to make a living rather than give them help on every front and on every hand. And so those are things that can kind of make me not so popular, and it kind of bothers me. So my way may be good, but I might not like the result sometimes and how people respond to it. Such was the case with Jeconiah, but we're going to see God does bless him in the end. But this man, Zedekiah, had some choices to make. And because he was choosing evil, he reigned 11 years. We just saw it in verse 2. He reigned 11 years and he did evil. Now what evil did he do? Well, he made a covenant. He bowed the knee to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he promised by God that he would serve faithfully as a tributary to the kingdom of Babylon. He promised that. And Nebuchadnezzar made him promise in the name of his God, in the name of God. And he did. But he got bored. And when he got bored with the way things were, and he got unhappy with it, he got discontented, and he didn't like the arrangement he had, and he calls down, he gets to these other guys. This, you'll recall when those yokes were sent to all those ambassadors. That was when all those ambassadors from Moab and Edom and a number of places were coming to Zedekiah, and they were saying, hey, let's get together, and let's get Necho down here, and Pharaoh to come up, and he'll help us, and we'll fight him. We'll fight him. We'll throw off this tributary. So that's part of it. He listened to these other people and he began to get discontented. He forgot his oath. He despised his oath. And he began to conspire to throw off the yoke of Babylon. God says, that's just not going to stand. You promised in my name. Perjury is a punishable offense. It's, I guess, felonious in this country. And the idea of lying under oath is used to be found to be something very bad, but now we have it being done at the highest levels, yes. Our president, not long ago, what's he say? He says, I promise that I did not do X, Y, or Z. Yeah, right. He did too. What about these guys who hold up their hand and say, I promise to uphold the Constitution? Every single one of them. And yet, so help me God. And God says, because of the anger of the Lord in verse 3, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah that Zedekiah rebelled. Understand that that followed. That he was doing evil, and that was something God allowed him to do. And then because God was angry, he moved him, if you will, to rebel further. The greater rebellion was not the conspiring. The greater rebellion was the breaking of the oath. But the breaking of the oath led to going to Pharaoh. They were going to throw off all of this tributary. God says, I'm going to let you go. Now, when you think about that, God letting somebody go, isn't that a lot like Romans 1? Because they became vain in their imagination, God gave them up.